coming up next. Stay with us after that for Surfability Freakout at 6 p.m., Freeform Music at 7 p.m., Roots Rock and Reggae at 8 p.m., and Getting Your Jammies at 10 p.m.
Well, maybe we should just start singing, Linda, because our intro music has failed us.
And I can't hear anything through my earphones either.
So. Really?
Yeah.
I hope anybody...
Technical difficulties.
Yeah. Are we on the air? I hope so.
I hope so, too.
Welcome to See You at the Show. This is Eric Schacht. I'm here with Linda Evans, and we are back with you to talk about...
And we love being in person, but it has its own challenges.
I know. Yeah, we don't get to prepackage and be all slick and everything with our intro music. And I'm a little thrown off because, it gets me kind of motivated every time and excited.
You need to get your music.
And there's lots to be excited about right now because we have
a live theater
weekend coming up. Mm-hmm. And
we're actually going to a show right after this.
Yeah, we can.
Super excited.
We have our... button down shirts and everything. It's fancy.
I know, because we never go
anywhere.
Working
in jammies all the time.
Yeah.
Well, we're really fortunate because it worked out today because the show that we're getting to preview at a dress in Monticello, as we say in Hamilton, where Twin City Theater Company will be producing the show Doubt. And when we heard from our contacts there, wonderful actress Diane Pritchard, that the director was not going to be present at the dress, light bulb goes off.
Right, and we're like, hey, maybe we
then can... She might be in Champagne.
Exactly.
And then she might be able to get her on the show.
And we did.
Yeah, so she's welcome right to See You at the Show, Alexis Webb.
Hi, thank you guys for having me back.
You're very welcome. We're really excited to hear about Doubt, but first things first. You are the new youth theater director for the Champaign Park District.
I sure am.
And how is that going?
It's been going. I mean, I think, I tell the parents all the time and the kids, the teenagers, when they come to me, like, we have an attitude of gratitude right now because mm-hmm. we're doing absolutely everything we can in order to get theater back in a safe way. Because there's just been so much loss in the theater and music community. And so over the summer, we did theater in the park to get the kids outside and allow for parents to come and see it in larger numbers and spread out. So we were over in Westside Park, and the kids and the teens were troopers with their masks and learning to project with all the downtown noise. And I think it was just really magical. And now we're back doing musicals in the Virginia Theater, which is crazy. It's my first time doing a musical at all directing. I've been in plenty, but directing is a whole other deal.
Right. Especially with kids. That's a lot to wrangle.
Oh, yes. They are very excited to be back. And I totally understand that. I've got an absolutely wonderful creative team working with me, some really wonderful humans. So it's been really good. I love the job.
So what kind of COVID precautions are you taking during rehearsals? And what about during the show?
So the kids absolutely have to wear masks, even if they're vaccinated, it doesn't matter. And then we're having the kids test 2 weekends out from the show because, God forbid, anyone get COVID.
Right.
It's 10 days to quarantine, and so they'd still be able to make it to that weekend. And we might also ask them to test the weekend before also because mm-hmm. it would just be so devastating for them to have worked so hard and then not be able to be in it. Right. But the teenagers are so intelligent, and they're taking it very seriously. I'm grateful for that. And then... we've worked very closely with Public Health, the Champaign Parks District, and they've basically let us know that, similar to sports, theater is okay not to have masks on during a performance because the risk is lower because you're so consistently moving. Mm-hmm. So while the kids are on stage for their, 3 to 6 minutes, there's really no chance of exposure until 15 minutes, less than 6 feet unmasked, and we're not anywhere near that. So
okay.
Kids are safe on stage, and then as soon as they're off, they mask up until they have to come back on.
Oh, nice. And the audience needs to stay masked the whole time?
They do. And, you know, luckily being in the Virginia Theater, we've got so much space to right. spread out, and they're working on getting a wonderful HVAC system in there. So the team at the Virginia Theater is also working with us, and I think it's going to work out really well.
That's great.
So your first show there is Moana. Is that something that was already selected by the, and rights were already obtained and everything before you came on board?
Yeah. So Patty, would be planning out whole seasons in advance and buying everything. And so she had already purchased the rights to Moana Jr. And The Jungle Book, which we're doing next, right? And then one other one, which I will not say because it's not out yet.
Right.
And then after that, I will pick the shows. But they're great selections. They're super fun for getting back into theater. But yeah, I have some plans for some musicals of my own.
Great.
Coming up, yeah.
Yeah.
And so you made a change with the ages that are eligible for the program. So what ages should we expect to see with Moana next month?
We are doing 7th through 12th. I think there's so many juniors and seniors that are in the area that their theater programs aren't up yet, or they're homeschooled, or especially the fact that there are people that have been with the Parks District doing the program with us for years and years. And, you know, 10th grade might have been their last year, and then COVID. Or even the 9th graders, you know, might have aged out. So I wanted to expand that for them, too, to finish out with their friends.
That's great. I really appreciate that because my kids were homeschooled for a good portion of their life. So it's nice to be able to do the Park District plays.
Yeah, well, Central, for instance, is not doing an actual musical this fall. So I don't know. I imagine that you have probably some Central kids that have taken the opportunity to be in CPD.
Yes, we definitely we've got a good amount of high schoolers from in the area and even outside of the city, which is great. You know,
nice.
Lots of community being made, which is, I think, the most important thing that the teens need. And that's kind of what theater's for, you know, making community.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And have you found that the involvement or enrollment excitement was high for this program this year?
It was. We lowered the maximum. Typically, the maximum is 50 or 60, mm-hmm. and it was just not feasible
right.
with proper social distancing and safety measures. So we lowered it to 40 for everyone to be safe when they're in the Virginia Theater and in rehearsals. And we did hit the 40. We had a little bit of a wait list. And then, you know, about a week before we were going to start, things started changing around here with going back on mask mandates, rightfully so, and the spike in cases. And a lot of people pulled out, and I totally understood. And so I'm just, you know, but everyone who emailed me saying that for, you know, personal choices for safety, they would feel comfortable waiting. They all said that they were excited for whenever COVID would, you know, slow down again and they'd come back. So it's a really nice community of parents and teenagers that are participating with us.
That's great. And you felt welcome and everything. Patty Dudley was around for so long. Sometimes it can be hard to, you know, step into a position that was held by one person for so long.
I was nervous, definitely, you know. And then I started doing plays, which Patty didn't start getting into until COVID. And
right.
I love plays. I want to introduce plays into the full season and not just have it be like a COVID thing due to numbers.
That's great.
And a lot of teenagers and kiddos signed up for that, and they were really into it because not everyone can sing and dance. You
right.
know, there's a lot of talented kids that are writers or directors or tech people or actresses. And I think that was just something new that the program had, and people seemed really open to that.
And there really wasn't anybody taking, except for the high schools, I guess, they do plays, but there's for the younger kids, there's not a lot of opportunity to do other things besides musicals. So that's great.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Well, do we want to talk about Doubt, or did you have a
couple
questions?
Well, one thing I wanted to hit on first was to talk about some of the inclusion efforts that we've been going through with community theaters. We've been working really hard to boost the kind of the diversity that's made available both on in opportunity and in audience and in the stories that are being told. And there have been some really cool initiatives that involve teens that we've seen come to fruition at the Station Theater. And so I think that there would probably be some good areas of collaboration with the community theater groups and yourself. Now that it's not just the Station Theater, but I know that Twin City Theater Company has also talked about this, as has CUTC, and that's going to need to kind of start with kids. And so if there's collaboration going on with the CPD youth program, that would be great too. Have you felt that there is a, compared to what you expected coming in, that there's opportunities for diversity, or there's room for improvement? How would you sum that up?
At the Parks District you're talking about?
Yes.
I would say there's definitely room for improvement. And it's funny, we literally like 2 days ago just had a 3-hour strategic planning meeting for the goals that we have looking forward. And I mean, I was not shy about making suggestions, and they were very, very welcomed, which speaks volumes about who's in leadership positions at the Parks District. And, you know, I think there's a lot that we can do to push for honestly just representing different cultures. I mean, we are a cultural arts program, theater, dance, visual arts. And I don't think the pandemic is an excuse for lacking in efforts. And there's more things we need to do for sure. Something I did this summer was I included a new play festival writing class called See Us, Hear Us. And it was specifically for anyone who felt underrepresented. And we had a wide variety of differently abled and children of color that came in because they wanted to learn how to write about themselves, for themselves. And even though I'm a white lady, you know, I'm lucky to have gone to the University of Illinois and have a lot of wonderful, you know, connections there, and I had a lot of help. And so that's kind of the collaboration I've had. But I would love to further reach into the local community theater scene as well.
I think it's great to like focus on writing the stories, because sometimes there aren't the stories out there that need to be told.
Absolutely.
So getting your voice out there is not just doing someone else's work, but writing your own is wonderful. So,
and I think we'll have some information to get you about a writing program that we're promoting, which is the Gun Violence series. What is the actual name of that?
It's Enough.
Enough. Gun Violence. Have you heard of that before?
Did the Station Theater do something with that?
Yeah, we did an online version of it. And we're going to continue doing it every year, but it's a national organization. It's Enough to End Gun Violence.
Right. And so now I think it's at the stage where the new stories are, the submission requests are being taken. Last year, what the station helped with was to actually, and Jackie Lowenstein headed it up, right? That was actually performing these stories.
Right.
But now they're looking for a whole new round of submissions. And I think that's between 6th and 12th grade.
Right. So the Station Theater is going to have a writing workshop for those. And then later on, we'll do the shows that get selected.
Right.
And so maybe somebody from this area will get selected. And unfortunately, gun violence is extremely real here in Champaign-Urbana. And so we're also the Station Theater and other theater groups in town, as we deal with Enough, are wanting to collaborate with other groups that are trying to figure out how to help with that problem.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Well,
so I'm
very
sure
exciting.
We should get the Park District involved too.
Yeah, and this is very exciting to hear about your initiatives. And I knew that we felt great about you when we talked to you back in the spring. But the fact that you're able to step in, speak up, and that there are people in leadership that are willing to hear you. And I think that with some of the other organizations that we found, you know, there's motivation for change, and then there's resistance at higher levels, and that resistance needs to be overcome where it exists, and you don't have any. There's institutional stuff that has to be overcome, but it takes you know, people willing to act, and that's really exciting.
And people willing to listen. So it sounds like you're doing both, which is great. So we appreciate that. But we should talk about doubt, since I know you have to go soon. So
I got rehearsal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The teenagers.
Right.
Are you rehearsing at the Virginia yet? Or are you still at Stratton?
We are in Springer Cultural Center.
Oh, Springer. Oh, right. That's it.
We do not go into Virginia Theater until the week of tech.
Right.
Which that theater is so wide, and our rooms at Springer are so tiny.
Right. It's definitely a culture shock when you first go on that stage for the first time.
Yeah. So how have you found the Monticello Theater to be? Because they have made themselves available in partnership with Twin City Theater Company for this production.
Well, it's kind of, you know, to me it was a little of a culture shock being from, you know,
state of New York, I mean, we're big into, you know, historical theaters and people building new theaters and, you know, downtowns. And I go out to this theater for the first time, and I've never been to Monticello, to be totally honest. And I get there, and we pull up to, and it's like, is this a warehouse? Is this a gym? Like, what's going on? Is it outside of it? I'm like, oh Lord, what have I signed up for? And then you go inside, it's like this beautiful theater, totally community theater at the bones, but it's a wonderful space. And I'm so appreciative to the people who started that up and were like, we need a proper community theater space. And it's really excellent.
How many people does it seat? Do you know?
We are maxing it at 50 for the sake of social distancing, but the audience will be masked. So
right, great.
Okay, and the way that theater is set up is the audience, is it basically just folding chairs for the audience, and then there's an elevated stage? That's kind of what I remember.
Yep, we've got an elevated stage. A little bit nicer than folding chairs. They do not fold. They just they just sit there in all their glory, you know.
Non-affixed, non-permanent of. Non-permanently
yes. Yeah. Movable chairs.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And can you tell us a little, we've talked about doubt in the past, but can you tell us a little bit about doubt?
Yeah. Doubt is actually one of my favorite plays, which is why Diane had reached out to me. And that was a really funny story. I had worked with Diane my last semester in my master's program. I was taking Latrell Bright's 400 level directing course, and I wanted to do scenes from Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, because mm-hmm. I am neurodivergent as someone with Tourette's, and I love telling stories of those groups of folks. And I wanted to gender bend Christopher into Chris, and so cast a woman in that role. And then Diane auditioned and was perfect as Mrs. Alexander. And so I met her. She came and we did rehearsals, and she had brought it up that they were doing the show, and I told her I loved it. Well, fast forward to June, and I'm on a road trip through Michigan, living out of my car for 10 days. I went totally hippie. I needed a break between working a full-time job at the same time of finishing my master's. And so I took some time off, left, you know, showered in the lake, all that great stuff. And I got an email from her as I'm driving, like, through the middle of nowhere, Michigan. Just like this long, lovely email, basically it's asking, the director has dropped out for school reasons. Can you please help? And I said, heck yeah, I will help. And so I signed up, and she was so great, knowing that, you know, I work a theater job. So I work Monday, Tuesday, Thursday nights. We made it work. We busted our butts over the summer before I switched those hours. But yeah, Doubt is an excellent, excellent story. And the people in the show are so, so talented, and
we have a great cast.
We do, and they've been so resilient through all of this and the unknowns. And the story is just so wonderful about, you know, topics of, you know, homophobia and racism and child abuse. And this is kind of like one of my little director things, but I actually went and looked up the National Association for Preventing Child Abuse, and we put those colors into the stained glass on the posters.
Wow. Oh, I like that. Yeah. See. I know we're going to just a few hours, I guess. 7:30.
So was the cast already in place when you were brought in?
They were. We did have someone drop the day before. We were supposed to have our first read through. Not the day before, maybe a couple of days. It's like two or three, but still, we were rushing. And so we kind of threw it out there, like, is anyone available? Please come audition. And I had met Misty, actually, when she was working with Prince on Equalision for the Parks District, and I'd worked with her, and I just thought she was lovely. I asked her, will you please come audition for this? A couple people auditioned, and I was like, we need to pick Misty.
Yeah, she's great. I love her.
She's wonderful. And you know, one of the things I did was I'm like, well, you got to think about the casting here. Like, would it even be appropriate for me to cast a Black woman in this role of Sister James? And I looked through things, and I could not find any productions where Sister James was a person of color. And I thought that was odd. Because it, you know, it doesn't explicitly say anything about race. I think Sister Aloysius and Father Flynn have to be white. But Sister James, I was like, I don't know.
And I actually called up Latrell. I wanted advice because, again, like, I'm a white lady. Like, I need, right. you need to reach out to mentors and colleagues when you need help and truthful advice. And she said to me, she was like, Alexis, you know, this is community theater, right? Like, this is the space to try things. And so I went for it and I did all the research and found all the stuff about huge congregations of Black nuns kind of leading the way in 1960s, 1970s, Harlem, New York, and this play takes place in the Bronx. And so kind of started making those connections, and it just ended up adding a whole other layer of, you know, what is it like for this Black woman in this time to be a teacher in this predominantly white school, and these two, you know, white characters just throwing around topics about this Black boy possibly being abused right in front of her, and, you know, she kind of just has to, you know, go on this journey with herself, and it's just a whole other layer. And it's been really, really excellent to have the cast that we do as well, because we've had difficult conversations and open conversations, and everyone is so unbelievably intelligent, not just in their talent, but in their poise and their personality. And so everyone's brought something really great to, you know, just a tiny hour and 15 minute show, but it's just expanded into even more of something about a conversation as, you know, a community as a whole.
Right. And you couldn't have better people than Misty and Jalen to have in that conversation. So.
And I really like the idea of the kids in this community working with you, because multiple times during this discussion, you've talked about how the limitations that you know you have.
Oh,
and so the resources that you took advantage of. And so and you fortunately have an amazing network. If you're mentioning names like Misty, Jalen, Latrell, Prince, I mean, these mm-hmm. are people that are, you know, unfortunately, there is a burden on them in this community because there are not, you know, great numbers of people of color in our theater
absolutely.
Community. But just as I, as a lawyer, need to be able to say when somebody comes to me with a law question, I don't know the answer to that, but I know people who do. Mm-hmm. You're taking it upon yourself to know the limitations of yourself as a white person in this world and in this art space to make it right, or make it as right as you can.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy about this.
Thank you. I'm pretty excited for the show too.
And so what is the role that tell us the names of the actors, because we've kind of mentioned them already, but and the roles that they're playing.
Yep. So there's Casey. He's playing Father Flynn. He is, I believe, a local to the area. He went to acting school in Chicago and came back and kind of took over his father's, I think, pest control business. But he's unbelievably talented and just kind of hanging around and, you know, the area. So we were lucky to have him. And then Diane as Sister Aloysius. And that has been so fun because Diane is just so naturally the most like joyous, smiley human. And I'm like, Diane, I need you to be so cold that I am afraid of you. And so she's worked so hard for that. Misty is Sister James, and she's just so lovely and talented and has added so much personality to that role, because a lot of the times that role is, you know, someone who's just getting steamrolled, and she is not that type of person, and mm-hmm. that character is not that type of person. So we've kind of broken some boundaries there. And then Jalen is Mrs. Mueller, and she actually made me cry last night because she just so powerfully represents both, you know, the experience of her character and also her son, Donald Mueller, who's the child in question of, you know, is he being abused? Is he not? Is it, you know, what's going on? And that's the thing I tell the cast every time, is like, the stakes are so high because this is a 12-year-old boy's safety and life at stake, but in what kind of way, you know,
right.
in a way of someone's protecting him because of his, as we say, nature in the play, or because someone in power is taking advantage. And so that boy is never seen, but he's spoken of the whole time. And Jalen is not just representing her character, this mother, but this boy as well. And she does so incredibly tactfully.
Well, anybody who's heard you just describe that is going to want to see the show. So how do they do that?
Well, if you go on to the Facebook page for Twin City Theater Company, you can find the dates and also the website that you can buy tickets online, which we are encouraging just in case you get here and then we've already maxed out of capacity. But you can also buy at the door. Tickets are $15 or $12 for students and seniors. And I just ask to come. I mean, it's just a small show for people, but they have worked so incredibly hard. And I think these four people so beautifully represent the community of Champaign-Urbana. And that's what we need to get back to doing. Because I know, you know, I'm new to the area, but from what I've heard from folks, there's been a lot of turmoil in the theater community. And I think this show is a perfect example of, you know, how we can learn to reconnect with each other in a responsible and in a really beautiful, empathetic way.
Right.
That's great. Lovely. And we'll have the information on our Facebook page as well. We'll send you off to rehearsal now, but we're excited and we will continue to promote this, support you, and we hope that we can fold you and your role with CPD also into the community theater world. So
awesome. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us, Alexis.
Time out of your busy schedule, so we appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Doubt opens on the 18th. At 7:30
Saturday,
right? But we get to see it today for dress rehearsal,
so we'll have more to say. We'll post a review on our website and also on Facebook. And there are other shows opening this week that you have to drive for down I-74,
right? And Heartland in Bloomington Normal is doing Tartuffe.
Have we ever gotten an official pronunciation on that?
That's how you say it. And which opens tonight, the 16th?
It does. Yeah, it's called like a preview night. It was pay what you can.
Right.
Or actually, I think they had a typo on Facebook. It was what you can.
But we knew what they meant.
I assume that you don't just go in and make like an air puffing noise or something like
that. Right, but that runs for like 3 weekends.
Yeah.
So you've got a lot of time. No excuses to not see that show.
No, Heartland does great work. Yeah. And I'm excited. We know Kevin Paul Wickert's in the cast. And so there are some local actors traveling to be in shows as usual.
Right. And back to Doubt. So you only have five chances to see Doubt. There's two 2:30 shows on Sundays. And I think there's a talk back after one of them. But definitely check out their website.
Yeah.
And Coalescence Theater Project is looking for auditions, requesting taped monologues for a virtual production of Black Lives, Black Words Showcase. And you need to send in your resume and a monologue and headshot by midnight on the 21st.
Yeah, we have this on our Facebook page too, Black Lives, Black Words. But in terms of your audition and if you're an actor and want to participate, there are no confinements as to gender, race, age. I think there's enough stories that they are casting lots of, you know, wide variety of people. And to do a show with that theater group would just be amazing.
Yeah, they're awesome. And if you are around this weekend for Pride Fest on the 25th, come meet the Station Theater at 2 p.m. We have a float in the Pride Parade on South Busey between California and Green Street. So please come out and walk with us and talk with us.
Have you walked in that before?
I have several times for different groups, but this is the first time at the Station Theater.
Yeah, and they have a beautiful float.
Yep.
Had a nice committee put together, some great work.
Nice job, Kendall, for organizing that. And so it'll be lots of fun. Pride Fest is always great. It's in Urbana this year. From previous years, it's been in Champaign, so don't forget. It's in Urbana.
Yeah. And so coming up after that, I guess we heard from Alexis Webb from the Champaign Park District that they're, I guess it's almost just like a high school production now. I don't know if the younger kids are just probably because they're not vaxxed at all, they probably aren't, that's probably why there's not a young kid show. Mm-hmm. But Moana will be going up, I think she said, in mid
October. I don't know why.
Yeah, my birthday, October. I think.
So yeah, maybe happy birthday. We'll go see it.
That'll be a way to spend
Yeah. Oh, and what did we watch? We watched Coalescence.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I hope that people had a chance to see that. And just go to Coalescence.
Back cover. Right.
Yeah, go to Coalescence Facebook page and just like them and follow them.
Right.
So that you become aware of all of the amazing work that they're
doing.
And you
have no excuses not to watch it because it's always online. Yeah, you can watch in the comfort of your own home. And it's pretty much pay what you can.
And also the ability of theaters, especially highly capable ones, to put together a good virtual show is just, it's so astronomically better than it was at the beginning of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they just had actors and